This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ola, it's Miles. How about this? Maybe you'd like to hear more of The Men's Room.
I know, you can't get enough of us. Subscribe to the greatest story never told on Radio.com.
This is The Men's Room.
Forget it, man, and get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off for Kicksville. The trippers, the grasshoppers, the hip ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying high as a kite.
You're listening to The Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Listeners joining us now in New Orleans, welcome to the show, Bayou 95.7. Also, 105.7, the X Rockin' Peoria, Illinois. And thanks to 103.3, the Ford Rockin' in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Also, Big Dog 97.9 in Joplin, Missouri. Big show for you guys today. Bad jokes on the way. Ted versus the FCC. And our question, what was the moment that you knew that you were in trouble? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Edward. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
How you guys doing?
Good. Excellent. Man.
I was going to tell you guys a story about the time I got caught skipping school by the police, but I figured everybody's kind of had a story like that growing up.
We like to think they have.
Yeah. Well, instead, I'm going to tell you guys, I lived up in Alaska for 10 years, and, an Alaskan's, pretty conditioned to bears in the neighborhood. Well, one evening, I step out of my front door, and I'm having a cigarette outside, and this bear is about 75 feet from me, and he's eating a bag of the neighbor's garbage. And so I do everything what Alaskans do, which is, to kind of yell at the bear and say, "Hey, get out of here, bear. Go away." Well, this guy, he wasn't even paying attention to me.
I don't respond to bear. My name is Jeffrey.
Right? So in my genius thought in that late evening was to pick up the doormat off of my front porch and throw it at him. Well, that 75 feet became 2 feet because that bear lunged at me as soon as he turned around and he was on my front porch, and I had just enough time to back into my house and slam the door shut as he stuck his nose in my door.
What, black bear or grizzly?
Big black bear. He was about, if I were to guess, he's about 800 pounds.
Jesus whiz.
Good God, man. Hey, let me ask you this. So I know Alaskans are conditioned to deal with bears, and yes, I've heard yell and do all this stuff. Generally, they'll run away. So let me ask you, if you're yelling at the bear, I guess then if you throw something at it, does that turn the tables on you in that moment?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he did not like that being thrown. I guess he considered that as a threat.
See, I'm asking because I wouldn't. You hear these things like make yourself look big, yell, scream. If you're not threatening a cub, generally bears don't want to mess with you. But then, because I would think if I'm feeling good about myself and I see the bears like going to leave, like I would do something stupid like throw a rock. But now you're telling me right at this point that was the wrong thing to do.
Oh, absolutely. You don't want to throw anything at it because they will take that as a threat, and they'll come at you. And bears,
you know what? That explains a lot, though. I remember playing catch with Smokey Bear when I was a kid, and I threw in the ball once. It came over and beat my ass.
Was that your closest run into dangerous wildlife in Alaska, or did you have any other experiences?
Well, that was the closest I've ever gotten to a bear. Most of them, I've had run into bears before. Something I didn't realize about bears until that evening was bears will actually hiss at you like a big cat when they're pissed. They'll bare their teeth at you, and they will
I wouldn't care if they sang Moon River. I mean, if it's an 800-pound bear, it's like, man, if he's my Moon River,
I would have to think they smell really bad. Did he smell?
I can be honest with you. The fear that ran through me, I didn't have time to really sniff him out, but I can tell you he was really pissed off because he didn't leave my front porch for about an hour, and I could hear him rooting around at the front door. And at the time, I was renting a trailer, so I'm thinking, thin trailer walls, big 800-pound black bear, I'm probably screwed at this point. I get up the next morning to go outside, and he had left blood on my front door. He had marked my door. I think he was going to come back
Damn.
After me.
Jesus Christ, man.
Did he leave any religious literature?
No.
Okay, all right.
And a copy of Watchtower.
He didn't come back, so he didn't hang out that long. All right.
You know, Alaska's got a... This is a story that we saw earlier today, and it was in Juneau, Alaska. Okay? And I know bears are a thing there. This is just... The story's just crazy to me. So there is one pet crematorium in Juneau, Alaska. So obviously, if your pet dies, this is the place you go. And I guess he was storing the corpses of some of the dead dogs, they said, in a carport, and then he'd covered the carport with a soft tarp, is what they called it. He ends up getting a call from the authorities because they got a call from people saying, hey, man, there are several bears on the side of the street eating dead dogs. I want you to think about this.
You need to understand something.
So they realize that the bears sniffed it through where he is storing these bodies. They ripped down the soft car. There's not a lot of places in the world where this is a reason that the authorities get called. Like, hey, there's wild animals eating dead pets on the side of the road.
You know what?
Go tell Mark.
This is very strange. I don't know if people know this or not. I've learned of this from inside sources. But in our area, in Seattle, Washington, huge dog population. There's more dogs than there are people with children.
Just go to the grocery store if you don't believe us.
You know, I mean, anywhere you go, there's dogs, right?
I'm just a little worried about Mike.
Yeah, Mike
is clearing his throat for like 2.5, 3 minutes here.
I'm sorry, man. I don't know what it is.
You want to drink my tea?
I got plenty of water over here,
drink
man. Just a hitch in my throat. I'm all right.
All right.
You know what? The next break, we'll get you some honey.
Yeah, we'll scratch it with something. We'll find something to jam.
If you turn blue, I'll poke it.
But there, so what happens when your dog passes? Obviously, unless you live on a farm and you bury your dog or your animal or whatever, some people do that. The majority of people do not, and they take
mine's
their dog
in a box in my closet
to have it.
It has been cremated. I should point out, I don't have a dead dog in my closet.
But I really like. But I like the pillow made of fur. That was cool.
Yeah. That was a Christmas gift.
Yeah, it's soft. Anyway, kept the nipples.
I was like, wait a minute.
It's a nipple
pillow.
I had it skinned.
I know.
And I gave Miles a throw pillow made of my dog. Yes.
I didn't even know Miles liked your dog that much.
Thank you. Anyway, so there's one crematorium. So all these dogs go to one place. And trust me when I say they definitely get backed up there. I don't know why. They probably should be every place like 7-Elevens because people have so many dogs, but there's only one location.
How does it get backed up, though? Based on what I understand, like you fire the thing up, right? And... like, it does its job, man. I feel like even if you said, man, we have 200 dogs, just based on what I understand, I feel like we could get this done in a couple of hours, man.
Here's the thing. It's all day long. Like, when you go to a hospital and you go to the back, like, there's areas where dogs are kept.
Yeah.
And they're kept until they're picked up. And some days, like anything else, like you can ask an ER nurse, probably. It's probably the equivalent of that. Some days are better than others. There's 20 of those dogs in the hallway. With blankets over them. Some days it's one or two. But, you know, like, it just depends on what's going on.
What are they scheduled to get?
They need to be picked up. But there's nothing you can do.
By
the crematorium before.
He's saying picked up. Like people
they need to
back?
Be picked up to be
so
taken.
So there's just a bunch of dead dogs with towels over, blankets over them.
Depending on the day, yeah. In a number of hospitals. Because you got to wait. But there's only one place to take them. So all
at
these.
A vet, I assume you're talking about, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And all these different places got to go to one place. So, I don't know. I could see where, but this is Alaska, so the population isn't nearly.
But he's the only guy. But the same guy where the bears went in and took these dogs. I guess the same dude had been sighted in March. People weren't getting. So if you get your pet cremated, it takes a couple of days or a week, whatever, to get the remains. As it was with me, they explained this, and I guess this guy got backed up, and customers were complaining months ago that they had not gotten the ashes, the remains of their pet. Okay, so. He was approached by whoever investigates this stuff, and he said, honestly, listen, man, I'm just backed up. Sheer number. It's just me. People were understanding, but where they got upset was they realized at that time, he was keeping the bodies of the dogs in the back of his car.
Yeah.
And so now he puts them in the carport. The bears get, maybe this isn't the guy that should be running the place.
Is this guy legit running Pet Solutions?
He doesn't take.
I mean, it was
out
kind of a
animal.
Stupid idea I had. Like, it seems like this guy, like,
man.
Like, I'll get to him tomorrow. Like, there's dead dogs in your car,
right? They cited him for that, so it's the same guy. And now bears are snatching the bodies out of where you store them. Like, put them back in your car, then.
And not to be the guy that tells everybody how the magician does his tricks, but more than likely not your dog.
Yeah, it's a mix. I mean, they even said that. They said, look,
there's a lot of dogs get to be put down here, and there's a lot of ashes, and there's some of that in there too. And there's a little cherry wood. What was the moment that you knew that you were in trouble? 844-999-OLA.
They would not use cherry wood.
Dude, I have some friends, his parents, you know, have a nice patch of land. So all their dogs, horses, whatever they've owned is still there on the land.
Oh, pet cemetery?
Well, yeah.
Basically.
But they don't have, like, tombstones and stuff. They're just like, oh, yeah, they're all in the yard.
Mm. Do they know where the... I mean, without marking them, or do they have a general idea? Like, hey, you're sitting on Skippy, or...
I think so.
I feel like you just have to say that. I feel like you just have to say
that's
that.
That's weird.
Like, if you have kids, like, where's Fluffy? You just point at a patch of grass, like, remember I pointed there. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know.
And it's your house. It's in your closet.
Just a quick aside, yes. You're very emotional when you take your pet down, man, and she gets injected with one of the giver. The dog died in my lap. You know what I mean? And
it's terrible.
In that moment, though, so the vet walks in as the dog, you know, it's staring at you, and then it dies, right? And I mean, 2 seconds later, here's the vet. So she's like, you know, we can cremate the dog if you want the remains. So, of course, in that moment, I'm like, yes, of course I want my remains. I love this dog. Like, 2 weeks later, we get this box, and I'm like, what the hell do I do with this now, man?
Give it to your kids as a Christmas present.
So... I don't know what to do with it, right? It's a box in a bag, and it's still there. In the meantime, I just stuck it in my closet in the very back corner, right? Like, until I figure out what I'm going to do, which, as I've discovered, is have an ashy dog in the back corner of my closet. So this is late November that I had to put the dog down. And so Christmas is rolling up. Kids are getting excited, and they come walking into the living room with these smirks on their face, and they, we found a present. And at the moment, I'm like... Man, all of your gifts are stored in places. You don't even know these places exist. So I'm like, where?
Like, in your closet.
Said, is it a box in a bag in the back corner? They're like, yes. That was your dog. There was a very weird, weird silence. Oh. Dude, you just have to hit it with him, right?
It's cold.
No, I wanted to hit it with him.
That was your dog.
So I let it, about 5 seconds, they're kind of looking at me.
What was the look on their face?
It's like, they kind of look at each other first, and then... Kind of sad, but mouths open, because that's all I said. I let it hang there for like 5 good seconds, let it hit him, and I said, now do you understand why you should not snoop around? Like, it forgives, right? And maybe,
you're going to find a dead dog.
It's not like I set it up that way, but I thought, you know what? This is going to be a teachable moment.
Oh, my God.
That's your dog. You know the dog you miss? Mm-hmm. That was her. Stop snooping around.
Lesson learned.
Oh, yeah.
What was the moment that you knew that you were in trouble? 844-999-OLA. Hold the line, air more your calls. Coming up, you are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
We got a Fayetteville, Arkansas. Hello, 98.3 Decay. Yeah, Fayetteville police firefighters called out to a man reportedly trapped in a sewer early Wednesday morning. Firefighters received a 911 call at about 8:15 from Keith Berner. He's walking his dog with his wife and kids around 5th Street in downtown Fayetteville. Berner said they heard banging and noticed the manhole cover was open. Berner told firefighters they looked into the sewer and saw a man.
With a red balloon and clown makeup.
Who started screaming and cussing at him.
Wait, he started screaming and cussing at them?
Oh, yeah. Berner said he backed up and called 911. The man said he was too weak to get out of the sewer by himself.
Why are you being mean?
Personnel arrived. It took about an hour, half an hour, to get him out. They figured out he was about halfway up the block, Berner said. One of the firefighters crawled down. I think they put a tarp down and pulled him out with a tarp. The man was seen walking away with firefighters and appeared to be okay. Neither the firefighters nor police said why or how the man was in the sewer. Our question, what was the moment that you knew you were in trouble? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Jared. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
What's going on, guys?
How are you, sir?
All right. So, I used to, first job, I was living in South Hill, worked downtown Puyallup. So, down at the bottom of the hill, I don't know if you're familiar with the area. But if you've got, you've got Meridian, it's a pretty fairly long, steep hill. And I would ride my bike down there every day to go to work. Now, as steep and as long as that hill is, you only have two options. You can either buy new brakes for your bike every week, or you can pucker and pray. Well, I went with the pucker and pray method. I knew I was in trouble when I got to the bottom of that hill, and a station wagon made a right turn right in front of me.
Uh-oh.
Bounced right off the hit the side, bounced over the hood. Ended up in the middle of the intersection.
Just
how
like,
many feet is that?
Solid 10 feet or so.
Were you wearing a helmet?
Yeah.
And I guess you were okay.
Limped it off. Funny part was is that at first, you know, I didn't register that I was hurt.
No,
the bike
because
was mangled.
Yeah, you have too much adrenaline.
Yeah, adrenaline
man.
Goes,
yeah,
man.
Adrenaline takes control of everything.
It's kind of like getting in a fight. Someone whipped your ass. You're still you want to go.
You
next
go,
day,
you go home.
You
like, that wasn't so bad. I think I kicked his ass. Then you wake up and you can't open your eyes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of along those lines. I was more, like I said, I was more worried about the bike. It was completely mangled and not mine.
You Clooney'd it. Okay,
yeah, the George Clooney.
Did you break any bones?
No.
Okay, you were lucky. Yeah, you know what? And that moment when it happens, it does happen definitely in slow motion.
I got hit once on my bike, kind of the same thing, not a super steep hill, but enough of a grader. I had speed going, it's rush hour, and there's a guy in a white, like, carrier van kind of thing, but we make eye contact in his mirror. Like, we look at each other, we're pulling up to an intersection, and he makes a right, and I don't remember him hitting me, there was a thump, and then when I realized, the next thing I realized, I'm riding a completely different direction. Like, I'm still on the bike, but now I am headed due west when I was heading due south. But the guy, he turned to hit me, okay? So he, and there's all these people at the bus stop going, ooh. And so he stops the van. He's all apologetic. And I'm like, you know what, man? I'm all right. The handlebars are a little crooked. I straighten those out. He's like, are you sure? I'm like, I'm fine. And I remember that big adrenaline rush going home, like, woo! Tell everybody what happened. We go out. We do all of our things. The next day, I cannot get out of bed. My leg's all swollen. Mm-hmm. I'm like, God damn it, man.
What was the moment you knew you were in trouble? 844-999-OLA.
Even for me, just falling off that balcony. Like, it's like slow motion when it's just like I'm going backwards.
What is the thought going? Because you said, I remember you always
the
said.
Leaf.
Yeah,
the leaves on the tree, like, passing my nose. And it, like, I could still remember being like, this isn't good.
Like, this is going to hurt.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
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 Hello, Don. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
Yeah, so the moment I knew I was in trouble was when my mom called and said I need to get to their house right now. I was 48 at the time. Anyway, I walked in there and my dad said, you're effing lucky. Dr. Osborne loves you. You'd be in prison right now. Give me the rest of the blank prescriptions you got. And anyway, I've been writing my own Percocet prescriptions for about 9 years.
Wait, you were writing your own Percocet prescriptions?
Yeah, he always left blank prescriptions in his exam rooms. I take 3 or 4 that I've been with the same dentist since I was 4 years old. So that was, 44 years.
So what were your parents? Were they mad at you for doing this, or did they want some drugs?
You could say that.
How old were you?
48.
48.
Yeah, but so when did you start writing the scripts?
9, 10 years before that.
All right, and did you get anything you wanted, or just Percocet? Is that your drug of choice?
Pretty much perks and maybe some, Vicodin. Okay. That's all a dentist usually write. So,
well, thank God it didn't do any brain damage. You seem fine.
About the last 6-8 months, I was writing for 10 milligram perks. With 3 refills, about twice a month myself.
Did you get busted for this? This is kind of like on a federal level,
actually,
isn't it?
Yeah, actually, that's why Dad said he's lucky he loves you, because they never involved police or DEA or anything. The dentist office didn't.
Sure, okay. And the drug companies, they love you. They don't care one way
or another. Yeah, they don't care one way or another. But good God. Writing for 9 or 10 years.
It's so funny now, people, like, with the pain pills, right? Like, I have a buddy whose last name is Perkins.
Oh, boy.
So we always called him Perk and stuff. But, like, sometimes now when I text things, I get weirded out. Like, I have an ex-girlfriend named Molly. So, like, sometimes I feel weird being like, yeah, Molly's coming by.
Molly.
Real.
You know,
like bring, a real woman.
Bring water. Bring lots of water.
Molly will be here tonight.
Yeah.
And you're waiting for the cops
I'm
to show up.
I'm being dead serious.
No, her name.
Yeah, Perk's going to be here, too.
Molly.
These are real people.
Thrill showing up with a strobe light. What was the moment?
And my buddy Kane.
You knew you were in trouble. 844-999-OLA.
I can't hang out with Kane and Molly together.
And my ex.
Right. Why are the cops here? Hello, Dean. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
All right. So when I was in college, me and my roommate got the idea one night. It was kind of late. We were all bored. Like, oh, crap. Let's go to Walmart, because there was really nothing else to do.
Okay.
On the way to Walmart, we stopped at a stoplight, and his friends were actually in the car next to us. So I'm in a little tuner car. I was like, okay, I'm going to show off. So when the light turned green, I gunned it, got up to about 80, 90 miles an hour, and then next thing you know, nothing but blue.
Funny how that works.
Mm-hmm.
Right? he came out of nowhere. He came out of the left side. There were no other cars on the road except us, we thought. And so he pulls us over. And state of Tennessee, it's if you're going over 20 miles over the speed limit, your license gets revoked and you usually go to jail. So he pulls me over, gets my information. He's pretty pissed off at me. A second squad car pulls up, which is definitely a sign of, okay, I'm going away. One of you guys are going to have to drive.
Yep.
So luckily, he actually ended up coming back and throwing my paperwork back in my face and said, you're lucky we got another call.
Meanwhile, you look over and see your buddy hanging up his phone.
Did you go to Walmart after that?
Yeah, we went to Walmart after
okay.
that.
All right, good.
Hey, man, what part of Tennessee did you live in?
That was in Chattanooga.
Oh, isn't that ironic?
We're in Chattanooga today, my friend.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. What was the moment you knew you were in trouble? 844-999-OLA.
See, there got the natives calling mm-hmm. already.
Yeah.
Hello, Vance. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitches.
Hola.
So, when I was a wee Navy lad, I'm stationed in North Carolina taking care of the Marines. I'm a fire combat medic. And one of my buddies is a Marine, and he's like, hey, you guys need to come up with me to my family's place up just north of Raleigh, Durham for the weekend. It's mine and my twin brother's birthday. We're going to have a big bash. And we're like, okay. So we road trip it up, and we're hanging out. It's an all-day fest on a Saturday. And we're all like, by the time, you know, it's like 10 o'clock at night, we're all pretty wiped. So we pass out. It was maybe 1 in the morning, and we're rudely getting awakened by a SWAT team who had come there later that evening to arrest his twin brother on felony larceny charges.
Jesus.
So we all were awoken by SWAT and were being drug out of the house in handcuffs with rifles pointing in our faces. Movie, get up, get up, get up.
SWAT is a lot opposite of ninja. Mm-hmm.
It really is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Do they have the shields and all that stuff?
Oh, they were full tilt, full gear.
How long did it take for them to sort all of this out? Like, before you, because you had nothing to do with it, so before you could kind of walk
out. It was a couple of hours, because what we ended up finding out, and, you know, unfortunately, our buddy actually didn't know any of this. He didn't know his twin brother had gotten into this. There were multiple charges. I guess he started an auto mechanic business and then got in with bad crew. So he was laundering money. He was running illicit drugs through the garage. I mean, it was this laundry list.
So in other words, stuff. A good guy to know.
What's that? Oh,
a
yeah.
good guy,
yeah,
to know.
Great guy to know.
Now,
great guy to know.
Now yeah. So you have a SWAT team there. They're there to arrest a guy on serious charges. They grab your buddy, and as far as they know, this is the guy they're looking for, because how many people say, oh, you must be looking for my twin?
You also said he's a twin, right?
Right, so how long does it take before SWAT believes that he is, in fact, the twin brother of the guy they're looking for?
That was the easy part, because, really? I mean, my buddy is a Marine, crop top, pretty cut guy. His twin brother, long hair, definitely North Carolina-looking-ish. Definitely wasn't a Marine. You know, we're vouching for him. I'm the most senior enlisted there. So once they got my info, they're like, okay, who came with you? I'm pointing my guys out. I'm pointing my buddy who's the twin out. And he's like, you know, we weren't allowed to leave until it was all said and done.
Is your heart still racing a million miles an hour and all this is going on and everything else, not knowing the situation, really?
Oh, yeah, because I thought, you know, what the hell did we just walk into, and what, you know, I mean, what
you know
kind
all this
liability
now,
would we have?
You know all this now in hindsight, but at the time, you know, like, there's not a lot of explaining going on as far as why they're doing this, right?
No, absolutely not. And, of course, I've got guys that are, like, 19 years old bawling their eyes out. What are we doing? It's like, just relax.
Get it together, man. Get it together.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. 19-year-old Marines just losing their stuff, let me tell you.
Atta boy.
I won't go through the whole story, but me and two buddies were sitting in a car in a parking lot of a hotel waiting for other people to get there for a party. Long story short, we end up getting surrounded, but we see a bunch of cop cars coming, but we don't realize it's for us because we know we're not doing anything. And we're like, what's going on at the hotel? Man, looks like they're driving this way. Then we realize, like, they've surrounded the car, and these guys have gotten out, and they have their shotguns out, they have pistols over the door, and floodlight streaming into the car, and we're truly just sitting in a car, and we're like, oh, no. So my buddy Tony, of course, wants to know what me or Leon did. And we're like, look, man, we for all the stuff, we haven't done anything that warrants
this.
But thanks for making that assumption. So the cops.
I like that. It's like, it's not that we haven't done anything, but nothing that deserves
nothing,
this.
Nothing like this, man. Nothing like this. So whatever it is, they've got the wrong people. So be cool. Tony, just that's not how his mind works. But the cops come up. They're clearly agitated. They are nervous. Whatever the situation is, we are dangerous guys. We have pieced this much together because everyone has their weapons trained on us. My buddy Leon, being Leon, I just thought this is the greatest thing. They come up to the doors, and they rip open the door. And Leon looks at this guy and goes, is there a problem, officer? Which, to me, was hilarious. But they tear him out of the car. They tear me out of the car. We have to take our jackets off. Again, it's February. It is freezing cold. We all have our hands on the car. They're doing whatever they're doing. And we kept saying, man, whatever is going, shut the F up. Like, that's the response to everything. Mm-hmm. At some point, you're like, dude, just stop talking. They don't care. They come back, they're running all this info, and we're like, what? So, and as this is going on, the people we're now waiting for, that were gonna that actually rented the hotel room, we're going to do the party, they have now shown up.
Oh, good.
It's fine, because most of them are cool, but as exists in every group, there's the drunk guy that's now going to go confront the cops. And I'm like, please do not. Oh, there he goes. So, at the end of this, there was a group of black guys in Baltimore at one point that were literally going around town and just shooting white people. And they called them the shotgun gang. And this was a bad thing for a while. I would say they had like four or five places. It was crazy. It was scary. So we showed up at this hotel. They had not caught these guys yet, was the point. So we were not thinking about this. They saw our black asses there, man. Made the assumption, figured we might be the guys. So when they explained, and they were very apologetic. They said, hey, man, we get it. I just want my jacket back. I knew I didn't do anything, so I'm not sweating this. You know what I mean? You did what you did. It's fine. The party's canceled. So in the end of all of this, and all these guys show up, and they're super nervous, and we get it, and the explanations and all this crap. The one dude from the crew that came up to go to the party, the guy who decided he's going to talk to the cops on our behalf, like, mm-hmm. You don't need to do that. He's the only person that got arrested that night.
Oh,
and man. Just because he wouldn't stop running mm-hmm. his mouth.
Update here, just so you know, if you've been listening to the program, Don, who called?
Don
was the guy who basically
drug guy.
He had been going to the same dentist since he was 4 years old, and his dentist left the scripts out on a pad. Mm-hmm. Don would steal three or four at a time, and he would write scripts for, as he said, Percocet or Vicodin.
Sure.
Don emailed the program as Toothless Don. You might remember that Don called and played Profile this the other day, and I think it's very ironic that he's stealing scripts from a dentist and. As he says, he's Toothless Don. He doesn't have any teeth.
But you're stealing the script from your dentist. Hey, man, just, I don't know your
dentist.
That
is really full circle, isn't it?
They're not very good.
Oh, my God. No wonder. He leaves the scripts out. Don has been going to the dentist since he was four. So it's not like he didn't go.
Right.
But Don has no teeth now.
Right. Somehow.
Maybe he doesn't want to go back because he's afraid to start stealing scripts.
Oh, my God. What was the moment?
I mean,
Toothless Don.
Don, what the hell's going on with this dentist, man? Jesus Christ.
Yeah, like,
you're toothless.
You're toothless, story. But you've been going to the dentist since you were four, and you're able to steal scripts from the guy.
For 44 years, you went to the same dentist.
Is he a blind dentist?
But you have no teeth.
What was the moment that you knew that you were in trouble? 844-999. Hola, more of your calls coming up. You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
Hola, bitchola. You have entered the men's room.
What was the moment that you knew that you were in trouble? 844-999-HOLA.
Hello, Ben. Welcome to the men's room.
Hello.
Hola.
Well, what a pleasure to talk to you fellas today.
We're going
to
find that out in a minute.
All right. Well, I knew I was in trouble when my wife, she asked me, let me back up a little bit. She had said that I'm a 10 out of 10.
She said you're a 10 out of 10.
She's like, you're amazing. You're a 10 out of 10.
I already know where you went wrong. She asked you to rate her, and you did not give her a 10, did you?
I did, in fact, rate her, and I gave her an 8.
You idiot! You fool!
I think I figured this out.
Listen, man. People talk about honesty. It doesn't apply in that much. Do the jeans make me look fat? No, they do not. Do I look good in this dress? You look spectacular. And certainly, if she says, rate me on a scale of 10, you say 10 anyway. But, man, if she already gave you a 10, you can't come back with an 8.
Are you still married, Ben?
I am. I am, and she doesn't let me let it down.
How long ago did you give her an 8?
Oh, boy. It's been about 3.5 years.
Oh, so she slid on down to a 6 by this point.
They used to tell them, like, oh, come on, man. Time's gone by.
Plus, you got to keep in mind, she's probably lying, too.
And that's my point. You know she was lying to you when she said you're a 10 out of 10.
Because
there's no frick. You know it's a 10 out of 10?
Yeah.
The guys she doesn't sleep with.
Because you know what else means a 10? It means you're intelligent. And obviously you don't hit that quota.
Yeah. I mean, once you didn't give her an 8,
then you're not really a 10 yourself, because you got to have a little bit of smarts to be
there. Yeah, you may have dropped down like a 7. Right. Come on, man. You have learned from this, right?
She is great. She does take it with a grain of salt now, but she doesn't let it down, and it's even progressed to the point where friends put me on a podcast just for me to talk about it, and it's not embarrassing as it was initially, but the reality of it is it was definitely a mistake when I had said that.
Yes. How long, by the way, was she legitimately pissed off that she ranked an 8 out of 10?
It was a solid week or more. It's easily over a week. She would constantly bring it up, like, oh, I'm an 8, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no, that's not what I meant. You know,
I thought you meant out of 5 stars.
You know what I'd do if I were you, Ben?
You can't say it's not what you meant.
Ben, go buy everything that's got like 8 on it. Go one of those shaking 8 balls. Go buy some V8. You know what I mean? Like, if it's got 8 on it.
Absolutely.
Just bring it on home. Like, get a jersey.
Get her a Kobe jersey.
Yeah, but just make sure.
Right.
Exactly.
Like, maybe get her an Alex Ovechkin jersey.
You know what you need to do? I don't normally recommend that people get his and hers anything, but you should get his and hers like jerseys. And yours is number 10 and hers is 8.
Mm-hmm. What
I like that.
I would also say, maybe stop going on podcasts and retelling the story.
Yeah, I would try to let this and don't go on radio shows and have hundreds of thousands of listeners and do the same thing. So you got to let it die very quietly.
But let's assume they were both telling the truth, which I believe he was. I don't believe she was. But in that case, you know what? She's doing quite well for herself. She's with a 10, and he settled for an 8. You know, on some level, she should be happy.
What was the moment that you knew that you were in trouble? 844-999-NOLA.
Man, oh, man. I think about some of the people I know that have gotten married, and there's a woman we used to work with who I did not like, and I nicknamed her Shrek. And to be fair, it's only because she looked exactly like Shrek. She looked exactly like Shrek, except not green. And she met some guy, and I cannot explain it, but they got married, and he wasn't a catch either, right? And they get married, and I'm just thinking, in their situation, okay, in their situation, if one of them were to ask the other one to rate me on a scale of 1 to 10, there's just no way they can look at each other and say, you're a perfect 10. You might be the sweetest, greatest thing ever. There's no way, man.
You've never seen a more beautiful baby.
Well, honestly, their kid?
Yeah. Their kid
Are you
was,
kidding?
No, seriously. Their kid was absolutely. It was like,
wait. Are
like
you
a,
being serious?
Yeah.
Because like they're both really ugly. The kid was born on Halloween.
You don't remember the kid? The kid looked like it could be like a Gerber model. The kid was absolutely just, you know, like it was the stock photo of a cute baby. You know what I mean? Like this kid.
Are you for real?
Yeah, totally.
I don't remember that part either. I just remember we always thought it was funny he was born on Halloween.
No. Yeah, because you know, my due date's Halloween.
You have a spooky everything. Child.
In fact, I got in trouble. So I never called her Shrek to her face, but I guess I got back to the boss that perhaps I'd called her Shrek. So he calls me to the office. Hey, man, you can't do that. My bad. I'll do an apology. All of this kind of thing, right? And I said, but look, to be fair, she looks like Shrek. He's like, I don't know about that. I swear to God, the next day I go to work, there is a full page ad for whatever Shrek movie was coming out at that time. And when you looked at this big full page, it looked like her. Mm-hmm. So I walked into his office and put it on his desk. He looked down and he's trying not to laugh. He's like, God damn. I said, just tell me that I look like her. That's all. I won't call the Shrek, but you have to tell me this does not look like her. He kicked me out.
Mm-hmm. What was the moment that you knew that you were in trouble? 844-999-OLA. Hold the line where your call's coming up. Also still to come, Ted versus the FCC. Bad jokes and we'll drink a toast for the shot of the day.
Shenanigans continue on the Men's Room Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.